Welcome to Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights, a podcast by coaches for coaches. Our guests share their hard-won wisdom to help you grow your coaching business and create a life of success. So get ready to unlock the blueprints to your success. Welcome everyone to today's episode. I'm thrilled that you're here, and I am also thrilled to have Adrienne Green, and she is a business coach for real estate investors, and I'm excited to hear more about that. So welcome to the show, Adrienne. It's lovely to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
So tell me a little bit how you became a real estate investor coach. I hear a lot of real estate investors, but not necessarily people coaching them. I love that.
Well, my background is, you know, I first studied finance and business in college, and I worked in finance for a bit and realized I didn't just want to be on the computer all the time. I love numbers. I love analyzing things. But I needed to really feel like I was helping people. So I went back and actually got my teaching credential, and I taught high school math. And I realized how much I love teaching people, right? I definitely have a teacher's heart. It's something that really brings me joy. Now, while I love teaching people, I didn't necessarily love the bureaucracy of public schools. So there was a transition of leaving that, teaching online. And in the process of doing that, I started real estate investing myself. It was an opportunity to make income elsewhere so that I had that flexibility of leaving teaching in that public school. So I started out with what they call house hacking or renting out my basement and realized this was the easiest money that I had ever made. Over time, I transitioned to full-time real estate investing, to being a real estate agent for myself and helping other investors. I ended up building a real estate team of agents that worked with investors. And so I've had quite the real estate adventure where it really went from, hey, this is something we can try as an experiment to make some money on the side, to now, you know, my whole life really is involved in real estate investing. And in 2023, when I sold my real estate team, I thought about, well, I took some time off, started traveling full time with my family of five. So that's one thing we do now. And I realized, how can I use my gifts, my experience to help other people? I realized that helping real estate investors run their investments like a business is really a need. And that's something that I was uniquely situated to help them with, because I knew real estate investing, I knew business, I knew entrepreneurship, and I knew how to put the systems, the tech, and the team into place, which I think are really the core to running anything like a business. That's how I got here. And now it's really fun to help real estate investors kind of organize all the chaos that it can be, help them get systems in place so that they can scale and grow. And I get the pleasure of doing it while I travel around everywhere, because I get to do it all online.
I love that. Because you're not in the States right now. Where are you right now?
So I am in the UK. We decided to spend the summer here. So I am right near Oxford, England at the moment.
Yeah. And I bet it's beautiful there.
It is. This time of year is great.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about like how you work with your clients. Only one-on-one? Do you do group coaching? I think you said you had some new packages coming out.
Right. So what I started with was, and I think I'll share the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, because that's of course going to be helpful for the other coaches listening here. With all the wisdom and advice that I was given as I started with like a DIY online course that helped real estate investors learn how to bring on a virtual assistant. Because I know you know the power of virtual assistants, it can be so great. And yet real estate investors are often, they want to reinvest every penny that they can. So they don't want to use a virtual staffing service. They want to do it themselves. So I was like, hey, why don't I make this course using what I know about virtual assistants? I've used them a lot. And this can be something they can pay for once, and they can just rinse and repeat with different virtual assistants. So that's what I started with. I think that topic was great. And yet, as I think we're seeing a lot in the coaching world, the DIY online courses with no community or accountability was a tougher sell. So then I evolved that. And to be honest, the first time was just an experiment. Like, let's try this. Let's see, which I think a lot of a coaching business is, right? Try something, track the stats, see if it works. I tried offering it with a live cohort component where we really was now a done with you. You know, we had the online videos, we had everything there, and we now had weekly meetings where they could ask questions, had accountability. I brought in some of my VAs as speakers, things like that. And it was an 8-week program. And so that was one of the first evolutions that's worked well. So that's a little side story, I guess, but I offer, yes, one-on-one coaching. I have that group coaching program that I launch once a quarter. And then fun thing I'm doing this quarter, again, because it's constant evolution, constant bettering, right, is I've realized as I expand my network and I reach more people that I don't have a relationship with, something that can help bring them down that trust funnel is some low and mid-ticket offers where they can see how I work, what I can offer, and if I can help them before they're making a $1,000 commitment or more. So I just just launched a like $300 price point mid-ticket offer, which is kind of fun. It's actually an online course for the virtual assistant. My real estate investors who already have VAs can buy it for their virtual assistant to take to learn how to be a great executive assistant. You know, I've worked with so many VAs and I'm like, I wish they knew this. I wish I knew that they knew this. So I was like, I can make a course. I can make a course. And that's done well. And then I'm going to also do a, you know, low ticket under $100 offer this quarter. I'm going to put it together. And that's going to be about teaching real estate investors how they can leverage technology to really easily start to make those SOPs or the procedures that they need in their business, or how they can use, you know, it's a mini course that can also teach them how they can do what they need to do so that their VA can easily write those SOPs for them.
I love that. You're speaking our language. You know, training VAs is amazing because I know we've had people in our programs who said, spent $20,000 on a VA and got nothing out of it. And it was like, well, I think a lot of people spend a lot of time finding the right person, but then they forget that once that person joins, they've got to train that person on how to do things. I love that you have a course for that as well. So tell me, somebody were interested in getting started in real estate investing. Tell me what they, kind of the process you take them through. Do you work with people who are starting?
You know, I focus on people who already often are in the messy middle, you know, who've already done it. Because what I saw, especially, you know, working as an agent with investors for so long, what I saw is people get really excited and they jump in with both feet and they're like, this is amazing. And then they get into that newness wears off and they realize it's not as fun to have as a hobby anymore. Where originally it was fun to spend their nights and their weekends and their free time doing that. When now they're on vacation and they've got to deal with a water leak in the property, or they've got to deal with a backed up toilet, or they've got to deal with the fact that there's a freeze warning, and how are they going to tell the tenants, or what's going to happen, or if it's vacant, how are they going to handle so the pipes don't freeze? All of that. And when you get in that messy middle, you get 2 to 12 doors, let's say. You start doors is how we measure we might have in real estate investing for a size of a portfolio. There's multiple, but doors is one.
In England, it's chimney pots on top of the fireplaces, or the, yeah, where the fireplaces are. You can see that there's chimney pots, and that's how they kind of calculate how many people are in an area.
Yeah, so in real estate investing, you might say doors for the number of units, you might say that you so yes, as people get more doors, it gets messier. And I just saw as an agent, people would buy these places, and then when the newness worn off, they just sell it and walk away, and they'd be like, oh, that was a failure. When the truth is, it's not a failure, but it's just like anything. We have to put systems into place. We've got to leverage technology, we've got to leverage a team in order to really run it like a business so that it's not just taking all of our time.
Yeah. So do the virtual assistants help with the coordination of what's happening?
So in real estate investing, a virtual assistant can really be like effectively a property manager, let's say. That's one core role. So if you have short-term rentals, long-term rentals, anything like that, where you've got tenants in place and you might hire a property manager, you could also instead bring on a virtual assistant. That way you get to control things and have it done your way, and it could be at a lower cost as well. They could also be a project manager. Let's say you've got a real estate investor who's flipping a lot of houses, right? Where they're buying, renovating, and reselling them. You could have a virtual assistant help project manage all of that, help coordinate getting the quotes, help coordinate checking in on the contractors, help coordinate like the utilities getting turned on and off, help coordinate the payments, all of that. So pretty much, or same thing for all investors, finding the next deal is such a big deal, and evaluating those deals, right? And that's something, if you're doing it on a computer, guess what? A virtual assistant can do that for you too.
Love that. Now, do you recommend virtual assistants in the United States or in the Philippines or anywhere in the world?
I recommend virtual assistants that are international for our specific uses, because the real benefit of a virtual assistant, especially for real estate investors, is often they couldn't, like I got started with virtual assistants because I couldn't afford what I would get in the US, right? Like I first brought on a virtual assistant as a real estate agent. I couldn't afford $50,000 for, you know, somebody to handle my operations. So, and honestly, it was out of my comfort zone. It was new. So I had to be in a position where I needed to do it to take on that, like expanding my comfort zone. And then I really realized how great it is. I focus and I work with virtual assistants in the Philippines pretty much because they're great executive assistants. English is fabulous. It's very reasonable to get a college-educated, experienced, fluent in English person who works as a great executive assistant. Now, if somebody wanted someone to do something more really hardcore tech and web development or other things, that might not be the solution for you. I found for what a lot of real estate investors need, VAs from the Philippines are a good fit.
Yep. Again, you're speaking our language. We love them. We've hired heard from, I think, 5 different countries and always came back to the Philippines because their just attitude is amazing and their work ethic. And like you said, their English is fabulous. So tell us a little bit about maybe some of your clients, like where they were when they came to you with this, you know, pulling their hair out or almost done, I'm guessing, saying, I'm giving up. And then tell us a little bit about kind of how you helped them through to feel organized and feel good about their business.
What I have realized is most real estate investors, even though you think of real estate investing as being, let's say, a lot about the numbers or something like that, it doesn't feel like touchy feely or any other very artistic. And yet, most real estate investors are not like your systems procedures. Like, think of like an accountant or an engineer. Like, they might do that in their day jobs, but they don't want to do it in their off time. And so that's what I found is that, you know, these clients come to me and what they are is they're idea people and they're decision makers. Like, if any of the coaches in the audience use the DISC personality assessment, it's one of my favorites. There are real estate investors tend to be high D and high I. So they're decisive Ds and they're extroverted people person I. They're not the C calculators. And so one example of a client who came to me is she was quintessential real estate investor. She was a high D, high I. She had fell into real estate investing, fell into being a real estate agent because, you know, she just jumps into things and she's great with people. And yet she didn't have any systems around anything. And so she was quitting her W-2 and really needed to organize and run her investment and her real estate agent business like a business. And in order to make the money she wanted to make, she needed to bring a virtual assistant on to help with all of the paperwork. There's a lot of paperwork when you deal with real estate, right? If you're a real estate agent, if you're a real estate investor, there's a lot of contracts. There's a lot of stuff you've got to keep straight. And so she had no idea where to start. So she took my course about hiring a virtual assistant and we went through the whole process together. She was an all-star student who watched every video, who did everything on time. It was amazing. And it was great to see the transformation. It was great to see that she did the job posting. She did the interviewing. She went with one of her applicants. She did the contract that we said. And then she started, you know, making a 30, 60, 90 day onboarding plan and started with their progressive training. And so it was really cool to see this person who doesn't naturally have any of that be able to do this because of the coaching and the resources and the tools and everything that I was able to provide. They were able to go outside of their comfort zone and get this person. And now that they've got this VA, the VA can be their systems person. They can build out those SOPs. They can handle all of that. You just need those non-analytical, non-engineer, non-account people to get their act together enough to get the VA in place, and then the VA can handle it.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, you're so right. They're so capable and they're so fantastic and they can do so much more than I think we even think about. Yeah, it is hard to kind of reel somebody in like that who's got that personality. And there's so much paperwork. I'm totally on board with that. I still had, when I finally got rid of a stack like this of mortgage papers, you know, when you sign your mortgage, you sign your life away. I think now most of that is online. So it's e-signature. Which is great. So do you think most of your clients, did you say, have 2 to 12 doors? I love that term.
Yeah. So most people are in that place where they've gotten a few doors. They know they want to keep doing this. Often real estate investors become real estate agents at the same time, even if it's just for their own deals, kind of a little thing that they do as well. And so they're really looking to get it organized so that they continue to scale, because that's the thing, you know, you really make so much money per door. There's some things you can do to, you know, flex that a little bit, you know, to try and maximize your profit per door, let's say. And yet at the end of the day, the way you get more profit is you get more doors. Just like, as you know, coaches, how do we get more money? We get more clients.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. So is there any commonality about your clients? Are they mostly men or women or of a certain age, or are they just completely varied?
Great question. So I work with both men and women, and that, you know, maybe there's a 60-40 split or something there on the women's side, but not too significant, I would say. And most people are going to be 30 to 60, because that tends to be the point at which people are growing these real estate portfolios and kind of doing this activity is, you know, not when they're super young and not when they're at a stage where they're instead looking to maybe keep things you know, the same or simplify rather than grow.
And do you work with people all over the world or just in the US?
Mostly work with people in the US. Trying to think, I've had some international, okay, let me put it this way. American real estate investors who could live anywhere in the world. So that's one of of the things America really, now this is my opinion, but I am traveling the world, so I feel like I've seen it more than most. America really is a great and unique market for real estate investing. Part of that is our mortgages that we have, which other countries do not necessarily have mortgages, or they're not as leveraged as the mortgages in the US, or as easy to get, or things like that. So the way that property law is in the United States, the way that mortgages are available in the United States, really makes the US a uniquely great market for real estate investing. Not that there's, I mean, there's other places that are great too, and yet there's a lot that aren't. And a lot of Americans, if they're living internationally, still want to invest in real estate. So as a real estate agent and as a coach, I'll work with Americans who maybe are stationed abroad or working abroad, and they may not, like, they're often in those situations, their housing costs are covered by the government or by their employer. And so they have a little bit more discretionary income and they want to get the benefits of owning real estate. So they'll become real estate investors while they're living abroad and, you know, renting or not investing there.
It's a great time to be alive, isn't it? We've got Zoom, we've got the internet, we've got people working with people all over the world. I think it's so fantastic.
I agree.
You should go into a real estate office in England because it's a whole different ballgame there. Buying and selling property is not easy. And especially some of the older properties that are, what do they call them? They are listed properties, which means they have a rich history. And if anything falls apart, it has to be rebuilt in the exact same way it was done. So if you have a clay roof and it's falling apart, you have to get another clay roof. And so all those things can be very expensive over there.
Yes. And from a real estate investing perspective, getting a historic home like that, even in the US, makes it more difficult for it to be a good investment, let's just say.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just curious, who does all the research on like finding the properties and determining if it's a good investment? Is that the VA who does that, or is that the real estate agent themselves?
Great question. So that has evolved over time. When I first started in real estate investing, you are just kind of expecting your agent to open the door and help negotiate the contract. It would have been completely unimaginable to expect your agent to help you evaluate something as an investment. And yet, in really the last decade, that's evolved, where investors really like to have what we might call like investor agents or investor friendly agents. And I think also real estate agents, more of them are now starting to invest in real estate. But what I would recommend is for a real estate investor, at the end of the day, you know, the buck stops with you. That's one of the things I think, you know, extreme accountability is important. And at the end of the day, even if we leverage a team and leverage other people, the real estate investor is effectively the CEO of their business, and they need to take accountability for whatever happens in their business. I recommend you create your system, or you find, vet, and adopt your system for evaluating properties and deciding what's a win and what isn't. As a real estate investor, you're the one who ultimately says, this is a system we're going to use. This is where I'm going to say, yes, it's a yes, or no, it's a no. And then once you've got that system, a VA can operate that system. They can do a lot of those initial checks. A lot of it is online research, and they can bring something to you, and they can say, hey, this checks all of your boxes based on my research. But then it's your job as a real estate investor to double check that research to make sure that you agree, and then to effectively sign off on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember what term we used for that. It was trust, but
perhaps it was trust, but verify.
There you go. Trust, but verify. I love that. I think that's so descriptive for a very small wording. So
yes. I have one little like tip for people along those lines. I imagine there's coaches in your audience who are working with virtual assistants. And I know we've talked a lot about them, but something that a little difference I made in my business. So I use Monday.com as my project or task management system. And I'm assigning, you know, my responsibilities to my VAs there, whatever system you may be using, Trello, Asana, anything like that. When the VA finishes a task, they have to put a screenshot up. It's so easy to do. They can use the snipping tool. They can use Paint. I don't care what they do, but they have to put a screenshot on every task when they mark it done. And that way, one, it's easier for me to verify when we do trust but verify, right? I don't have to go to wherever they were doing it or log in or anything. I just see that image. And two, it's just a backstop and an accountability where they know that there has to be a screenshot. And so they can't, it makes it a little more difficult or a little more of like a against the grain if they were to get lazy or misleading and say it was done when it wasn't. So a little thing, if you're working with VAs, when it's done, they've got to put a screenshot showing them.
I love that. That's a great tip. So Adrienne, if people are saying she's speaking my language, I need to reach out to her because I'm in that position and things are crazy and I need some help, what is the best way for them to reach out to you?
To go to my website, it's really simple, Adrienne Green. learning.com, and I actually have a free tool there. It's a freedom blueprint, and it shows the 10, I guess, foundational pieces of organizing a real estate investment portfolio. So to help people start to get organized. And if you just want to talk or anything, I'm on Instagram at arealgreen, and I'm happy to, have you DM, see my stuff there, and we can talk.
We will put that in the show notes so people can easily click on that and find you. So, last question for you. If there was one tip that you could provide to the world to make it a better place, what would that be?
I think in line with my personal experience, it would be travel. There's so much value of getting out of your day to day and seeing how other people live. As coaches, no matter what area you're in, we deal with people just having these limiting beliefs and not knowing a different way to do things. And travel, let me tell you, there are about 1,001 ways to do just about anything. And I've seen from the different places we've been. So I would say travel. And the more out of your comfort zone and the more it scares you, the more that's a place you should go.
Oh, I totally agree. It's so confidence building and it's such an eye opener. Yeah, we brought our kids to Ireland last month, and I just feel like it was really a good time for them. They're both, one's going off to college, one's been in college. It's such a fantastic experience. So wholeheartedly agree. Well, Adrian, this has been amazing and informative. I can't thank you enough for joining me today.
It's my pleasure. This has been really fun. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for joining us today on Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights. We hope you're leaving this episode with inspiration to take your coaching business and your life to the next level. If you found value in this episode, we would love it if you would subscribe and share it with someone else who you think might benefit from hearing it. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode.